Welcome to the, as far as I know, the first ever congregational-led Christmas Eve service. So we're making history tonight. I'd like to say, if you're a little nervous about doing this, don't worry. We're all friends here, so we'll get through it. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Dear God, on this Christmas Eve, we want to think about the real reason for this happy season, Jesus' birth. We give and receive gifts to say how much we love each other, just like the three kings brought gifts to Jesus. But instead of thinking about what we might get for Christmas, help us to focus on what we can give to you. We want our hearts to be ready so we can be truly celebrating Jesus' birthday and the peace and joy he came to give us. We want to give you a happy heart that wants to obey you, God, one that loves you and others. Amen. Okay, we'll have the lighting of the Advent wreath.
To a people longing for hope and yearning for deliverance, the prophet Isaiah declared, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Tonight we come seeking hope, peace, joy, and love, and we find these things in a child. God made flesh as a baby in a manger, a baby who is born, or who is both the beginning and the end of our salvation, who dwells with us even now, our Emmanuel, God with us.
We light these candles as signs of our shocking hope, our just peace, our fierce joy, the love that transforms us, and Jesus Christ, our wondrous light. May the light burning in our hearts guide us, comfort us, protect us, and tend us in all the seasons and circumstances, reminding us that day and night, in the light and in the darkness, God is with us. Our salvation has come. Amen.
The first scripture reading is from Isaiah 9, 2-7, page 555 in your pew Bible. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Good evening. I'm going to read a sermon which Reverend Sarah Lund, who frequently does pulpit supply for us, was generous enough to share with us. It's called Handing Over the Baby. So obviously this is her words. But our daughter Caroline and daughter-in-law Katie are each expecting baby number one around Christmas. I can't wait to hold the little ones. Holding them will be a precious gift, but one I mustn't take for granted. All of us who love and care for others are called repeatedly to hand them over, to share them, whether babies, growing children, young adults, friends, or elderly parents. We hand them over to God's purposes and to the hands of a larger world, even when we would rather clutch them all to our chest. God understands. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. We're also called to hand over our own spirits, our wills, and our attitudes as part of our Advent worship. I want to share an experience that still speaks to me about this theme every Advent season. I admit, I'm not proud of myself in the story, but perhaps it will speak to you on Christmas. In 1987, I was involved in a young mother's circle at the large Presbyterian church of my in-laws in St. Louis, Missouri. I've been serving as an ordained UCC hospital chaplain. I prided myself on having a broad perspective about caring unconditionally for all kinds of people. But then my sense of unconditional love was sent into disarray. One day in early December, about 25 of us young women were sitting primly in a circle, dressed in nice outfits, ankles crossed demurely, hair coiffed, preparing for Bible study. I had just given birth to our third child, our first daughter, Caroline, who is now expecting. She was dressed in pink and frilly clothes, and I was perched on my folding chair throne holding court as women admired her. An older woman in her mid-40s named Myra served as our circle's mother superior to foster our spiritual growth. Myra arrived at the last minute with a woman in tow. She looked and smelled different from the rest of us. She was dressed in a worn black leather motorcycle jacket, old ratty jeans, and studded boots. Her hair was long, stringy, and greasy, peppered with gray. Her face was leathery. She looked at all of us and said a bad word that sounded like, "Shoot, Myra, what is this?" Her deep, gravelly voice was accompanied by a pungent body odor, overlaid with cigarette smoke. Myra calmly made introductions with a sweeping hand motion. She said, "Ladies, this is Margaret. And Margaret, these are the ladies of the Esther Circle." Dripping with insincerity, we said, "Welcome, Margaret." Margaret drawled, "Ladies." We assumed she was someone Myra dragged off a downtown bench. Then Margaret's eyes fixed on Caroline. Making a beeline over to me, she asked, "May I hold your baby?" My stomach lurched. I had no desire to turn my sweet 3-week-old baby over to Margaret. I paused. Our eyes met and we had a brief, wordless discussion. Seeing no escape, I grudgingly handed over my baby. Margaret settled in with Caroline. During the study, Margaret cooed at her, stroked her hair, kissed her head, smiled contentedly. Caroline slept. I felt sick. Afterwards, Margaret came over, handed Caroline back, and thanked me. I couldn't bring myself to say, "You're welcome." So I said, "At least she was good." Margaret countered, "She didn't have to be good. I would have enjoyed her however she was." I took Caroline home and bathed her because she smelled like Margaret. Later, I called Myra with the excuse of asking about giving Margaret a little welcome gift. I thought shampoo, deodorant, a new pair of jeans, etc. Oozing deceit, I said to Myra, "It was so nice you brought Margaret today. Could you suggest a gift I could get to welcome her?" Myra paused, then answered slowly, "The best gift you could give Margaret is to let her hold your precious baby. And someday you might mean it." Myra's words cut me to the core. Margaret came weekly until we disbanded for the summer. She made her weekly beeline over to get Caroline. Eventually, I simply held out my baby and later bathed her to remove Margaret. She rarely spoke, except once when listening to our prayer requests about potty training and such, she grunted, "You ladies need to get out and engage the world more." No one asked Margaret for her story until the last day before summer break. Grinning, Margaret simply said she had a PhD in psychotherapy and had worked 17 years with troubled teens in the juvenile court system. She was the most educated, experienced, influential woman among us. Speaking for myself, I had decided who Margaret was by her different appearance. I never asked for her story because I was afraid for what it might be. A relationship with her was outside my box, but not baby Caroline's. We never saw Margaret again because she died in a diabetic coma that summer. Myra said we never saw Margaret. Did I say Margaret or Myra? I always do that wrong. Anyways. She died in a diabetic coma. Myra said she had had an abusive childhood and that Caroline was the only baby she'd ever held. I want to make a disclaimer. If Margaret had joined us when my children were all nestled safely in the sanitary nursery, I would have welcomed her with open arms and asked to take her for coffee. I would have wanted to know her story. I was a chaplain, but handing over my precious baby was a different matter. I believe God wires parents for protective attachment. Handing over babies or children of any age isn't supposed to be easy. We learn to do so, knowing they have a purpose larger than filling our arms. Gradually, we loosen our grip and hand them over as a grudging gift to the larger world, praying fervently. It's hard. We want to decide when and to whom. The Christmas story contains such struggles and more. First, think back to what God says through Isaiah. "Now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. God understands the effort and pain of giving birth. Birthing a new and faithful people was for God, as Isaiah describes, like the agony of giving physical birth. Next, think of Mary's difficult calling. She gives birth in a stable, not in the comfort of her home, surrounded by doting older women. After his birth, she wraps her baby in strips of cloth, not in a pamper and a blanket sleeper with teddy bears. She hands him over to a manger filled with dusty, animal-slobbered straw, not a clean crib in an adorable nursery. Still in the throes of postpartum pain, shepherds show up. And what's the first thing people usually ask when they visit a newborn? May I hold your baby? Would Mary's stomach have lurched as she handed precious Jesus over to the rough hands of the earthy shepherds? On the eighth day, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple to fulfill their law. An old man, Simeon, approaches. May I hold your baby? We're told Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He warns, this baby will bring the rising and falling of many in Israel and will be a sign that is opposed. He will truly be handed over to the nation and the world. But they were in the temple to dedicate Jesus. Before handing their baby over to the world, they would first place him back in God's arms. Some of you may be thinking, I must be a horrible parent. I loved handing my kids off for other people to deal with. The truth is, kids are exhausting. It takes a village. But we want to choose whose arms they enter, what the setting is like. We want to be sure of their safety. We don't choose to hand them over to the unknown Margarets of the world. God sees things differently. Handing over the baby, his son, into the unworthy hands of a rough and smelly world is the gift of Christmas. And I'm going to repeat that because I thought that was really good. Handing over the baby, his son, into the unworthy hands of a rough and smelly world is the gift of Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This gift was well thought out in advance. It was given to express the love of God, a gift of hope, power, presence, given personally, purposefully, unreservedly, generously, inclusively, and permanently. I believe God understood my struggle to hand over my baby. In Isaiah 49, God compared this deep love and compassion to a mother and child. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? No, as with a mother's heart, a child is engraved on the palms of our hands, as we are on God's hands. I believe God understands how it pierces the soul to entrust a child to an untrustworthy, unprepared world that might not handle the child carefully. Jesus would take on all the bad odors, dirt, and offensiveness of each person he would encounter. And instead of rushing home to bathe it away, he would wash us clean. Over the years, the Margaret story has changed for me. It's not so much about my struggle to place the baby in the arms of Margaret. It is that I finally realize that I am like Margaret. I am like the Margaret I looked at as unclean and unworthy of holding my baby. So I have to ask myself, do I still try, like an Esther Circle lady, to remain orderly and unstained by the world's messiness, or do I engage? How about you? God's gift of Jesus calls us to be givers and to be a gift to this world he loves. We need to hand over our hearts and wills every day for this calling. May we receive God's own Christmas gift again this year with open and grateful arms, and then open our arms in faith to the world that God loves so deeply. So may the God of hope give us the strength and courage to do his will. Go in peace to love and serve the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.